So, brethren, I have a question for you. What kind of a feast are you having? Go ahead and shout it out. What kind of a feast are you having? Greatest feast ever? Or is it the worst feast ever? What is it that makes a feast a great feast or a worst feast? You know, it could snow tonight, and for some of you, that might make it the greatest feast ever. But for others, that might make it the worst feast ever. The same situation. What is it that makes the feast a great feast? I think the worst thing that happens is when you get sick at the feast. Isn't that just the worst thing ever? You finally make it and come down with a cold, or you just feel terrible. That happened to me in, of all places, Alaska, when we went there for the feast. We're surrounded by all this good food, and I came down with something, and I couldn't eat for 3 days. Not the greatest feast, but some feasts are really awesome. I remember the feast of 2004 was right here in Steamboat Springs, and we were at the dance, and right about over there, I was introduced to this really cute cowgirl. Come to find out, she was the only one I danced with that night that actually knew how to dance. She's actually here tonight. She's back there in the back of the room by the sound booth. Except for now, she has my last name and we have 5 kids together. So for me, that was the greatest feast ever. But regardless of what adjective you use to describe the feast, God uses a very specific adjective to describe the feast. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Verse 15. I do have to use my PowerPoint because that's where the scripture is. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 15 says, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands so that you surely rejoice. So today what I'd like to do is to examine Deuteronomy 16, verse 15. This scripture has so much in it. It's a very involved scripture. It's so big. So let's take it piece by piece. First of all, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast. So what does that mean? A sacred feast. The definition, the Hebrew definition of that word sacred is properly to move in a circle, that is to march in a sacred procession, to observe a festival, by implication to be giddy, celebrate, dance, a feast, reel to and fro. That's the Hebrew definition. Now, when I think of the word sacred, I kind of have this mental picture, my image of monks walking, or something that's very sober, something that's very somber. But when we look at the definition in the Hebrew, it has dance, giddy, reel to and fro. So that's a different side of sacred. So what does that tell us? That tells us that this word is an all-encompassing word. It tells us God is showing us that we can keep the feast sacred by dancing, by being giddy. It simply means that there is a time and place for everything. If you come down here for the dance on Saturday night, it's not going to be a solemn dance. I know this because I know the guy that's producing the dance. It's not going to be a sobering dance. When we go to the ice rink here later, I don't think we're going to be soberly slamming bumper cars into each other. Preparing the earth for scraping the earth clean. That's what it was. It's not going to be a sobering event. We're going to have a lot of fun. But we can do that and still keep a sacred feast. So the English definition of the word sacred is dedicated or set apart for the service or worship of a deity. So that kind of fills in another piece of the puzzle. Let's continue on in the verse. Deuteronomy 16:15, again, 7 days you shall keep a secret feast. The next section is to the Lord your God. So now all of a sudden this sacred feast is no longer about me. It's not about what I want to do. It's not about where I want to go. This feast is to the Lord. How can I serve Him? What does He want me to learn while I'm here? Let's take just a second. I want everybody in the room to turn and look to your left. Now look to your right. And now look behind you. Except for you in the back row. What you just saw is the body of Christ. And that is what makes this feast sacred. So the first question that we want to ask ourselves now is, how do we treat each other while we're here at the feast? Because you just saw the body of Christ. Everybody that you're interacting with in this room is the body of Christ. How are we treating each other? I want to take just a minute and talk to the young people that are here. We're going on day 3 now of the feast. How are you treating each other? Is everybody in your cliques, your little groups? Or are we being all-inclusive? Are we including other people? Imagine what it would look like, young people, if you planned an event here at the feast and it could be something as simple as going to the park and throwing a frisbee. But every one of you asked one person that you've never met before or don't know to come along. Just take a second and think about what that would look like. So you're all going to go to the park, and each person is going to ask someone to come along they've never met and don't know. The implications of this are pretty outstanding, because you may, by doing that, be the reason that that person that you asked to come along comes back to the feast next year. If that person is feeling down and low because they're being left out, you could make the difference in whether or not they attend again. Imagine how powerful that is, how much that would mean to someone else. The second thing we need to think about is how we treat everyone else that we come into contact with that's not in this room. Be it the hotel staff, if we go to a restaurant, the wait staff. What will they see when they interact with you? With me. Will they see Jesus Christ? Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me." And that's why we're here. That's what keeping the feast sacred is all about. We are to show Christ to everyone that we interact with. But that's not the end of the story. We still have one more page. So again, Deuteronomy 16:15, 7 days we keep the feast sacred in the Steamboat Springs. Well, it says in the where the Lord chooses to place His name, but we all know that's Steamboat Springs. The conclusion of the verse is, because the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands so that you surely rejoice. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to reverse engineer this scenario. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all the work of your hands so that you surely rejoice. This is a commandment with promise. The first commandment with promise is, of course, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land. Or as my mom used to say, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. But this is a commandment with promise for the entire year. Keep the feast sacred has a year-round promise if we do it correctly. So let's reverse engineer this for a minute. We're going to fast forward to the kingdom of God and you all have 10 cities because you all traded really well and got your 10. So you and your 10 cities come up to the feast. And on the day that you're scheduled to speak, one of your cities doesn't show up for services. Now, it might have been that they partied too hard last night, or maybe they figured, I know who's speaking, I've heard it before, I don't need to go today. But for whatever reason, your city didn't show up. What are you going to do now? How are you going to handle that? When you get back home, is that city going to receive your blessing? Is that city going to get your favor? Or is that city going to have some splaining to do? See, we prosper so that we can rejoice at the feast. That's what the scripture is telling us. If we aren't going to keep the feast sacred, then there's no reason for us to prosper. So let's make it a goal to keep this feast properly, and then in faith, reap the blessings from it in this upcoming year. So, brethren, what kind of a feast are you having? I hope that you're having a sacred feast, and that for the remainder of our time here together, we can be one body, united, to serve our great God, caring and loving one another, and thereby laying claim to the promise of a blessed and fruitful upcoming year.